This is Kevin Conroy, and you're listening to The Drift Space.
Initiating neural engine in 3, 2, 1.
And long time no hear. Welcome back to the Drift Space. I'm your host, Rebecca.
I'm G.
I'm JR.
Guess what? I'm hosting. And you know what that means? We're talking about Dragon Ball Super, superhero. Okay, so gonna have a brief synopsis of Dragon Ball Super and the movies we've watched so far. Okay, we've covered Battle of the Gods, Resurrection F, and Broly. Battle of the Gods was a wonderful reunion movie of our favorite Z Fighters. Resurrection of F was Resurrection F. I can't remember.
Resurrection F.
Thank you.
It's actually Resurrection of F.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it's Resurrection of F. But huh. I Resurrection F. That's fine.
Resurrection of F was a love letter to fans by bringing back Frieza. And I understand that some of those fans that follow the recent chapters of Dragon Ball Super manga have experienced a certain major blackout regarding Frieza. Now, Broly. Broly was by far one of my favorites out of all the movies due to the animation, solid storytelling, and definite character development and redemption until Dragon Ball Super Piccolo. I mean, superhero.
Yeah. Yeah.
we should just title this episode Piccolo Porn.
Piccolo Porn. Yep. Nope. Piccolo's Picker.
Rebecca's Piccolo Porn.
Okay, so basically the Red Ribbon Army returns in the guise of Red Pharmaceuticals, and the offspring of Commander Red, Magenta, and the grandson of Dr. Gero, Dr. Hito, are once again Pinky and the Brainying up a bit to take over the world. So it's up to Goku and Vegeta. Nope, they're on Beerus's planet, training with Broly. So it's up to Gohan. Nope, he's researching ants that go Super Saiyan. So it's up to Majin Buu. Nope, he's sleeping. It's up to Bulma. Nope, she's getting facelifts from Shenron. So it's up to Piccolo to do something about it. Because he carries the whole movie on his shoulders, and it's about damn time. Before I begin, this is not only going to be a brief summary of the movie, it's also going to be a gush fest galore over Piccolo, so I'm basically going to point out the things I love about this movie, and the majority of them, okay, all of them, revolve around Piccolo. So brace yourself, and please feel free to jump in at any time, guys.
Well, JR, I think you and I should take a vacation at this point. We are done.
I was joking when I said Piccolo porn, but I might as well just leave this episode. The amount of fan art that's coming.
Oh,
she hasn't said it yet. She hasn't said it yet. So you got to keep the counter going.
I know, but right. I'm saying this preemptively.
Okay.
For the record, you wanted me back, okay? This is what you get, all right?
Oh, boy.
Okay. Okay, the list of things I love about Piccolo in this movie.
Well, here we go.
Piccolo's the first to encounter the new android, Gamma 2. He follows the android and infiltrates its secret headquarters and discovers the Red Ribbon Army's secret weapon, Cell Max. He tries everything in his power to get Goku and Vegeta back to Earth, with no success. He can't seem to get Gohan away from his ant fetish, so he literally has to take things in his own hands and ask for Shenron's help to awaken his sleeping powers with a little bit of an extra boost. And yes, I did find it hilarious that it's been established in the movie that Piccolo could have wished Goku and Vegeta back on Earth instead Bulma.
Oh, wished yeah. Plastic surgery. That didn't even hit me when I was watching the movie, and they bring it up. It's like, you know, we could have just wished Goku and Vegeta back to Earth. Oh!
I love how his antenna droop a bit when he says, I'll go back to the Red Ribbon Army. It's... Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I also love how the Red Ribbon Army, despite its advanced technology, has extremely poor security. Piccolo leaves, goes to see Korin, then sees Dende, then Bulma, summons Shenron, gets his powers, and later returns to the base with everything still intact and the same. Everybody talking about the same thing, still. And there was only one person that noticed him gone. And also, he just summons Shenron. You don't think the people in that building would realize the sky just recently turned black? I mean...
There were no windows in that room.
There weren't? I hadn't noticed. Are you sure?
There weren't.
That theory shot.
Does the Red Ribbon Army... I forget. They were after the Dragon Balls.
At one point they were.
And okay.
In Dragon Ball.
But they... Did they ever witness Shenron getting summoned? Would they know what that meant if the sky went black?
I don't think so. They would. And they weren't after the Dragon Balls in this movie. They were after him in
Dragon Ball.
Yeah, they were in Dragon Ball. But in this movie, they were after the Z Fighters.
Right. You know. I'm just saying, if they did know the sky go dark, I don't think they'd know what that meant.
No.
Yeah, possibly not. But still, okay. Regardless, I think even if they did have windows and... At least somebody, security or something, would come in and says, hey, the sky just went black.
And they did have that, like, deception filter on. Like, when Piccolo flew out into the sky, he, like, crossed some kind of, like, barrier.
Well, I don't think...
It
only works one way, because if I recall, didn't Gohan powering up, like, clear the sky?
I thought the barrier was broken by that point.
Maybe, yeah.
Perhaps. Anyway, the new Red Ribbon Army has terrible security. I mean, it's nice to know Piccolo is able to... Never mind. I don't know where I was going with that.
Rebecca not know no, what he's no, talking about no. regarding Piccolo?
She knew she was exactly where she was going.
Well...
But then realized, I can't say that on air.
Yeah, that. I also love how... Pan's teacher and Piccolo know each other by first name basis, and it was mentioned by Chris Sabat himself that he has been... I'm saying Piccolo a lot. Hey, JR, keep a tally track of how many times I say Piccolo.
No.
It's probably already up to 10, I'm not doing that.
If we do that, there'd be no...
You know, power left
in his phone.
You know when Vegeta's scouter breaks because Goku's power level so much? That's my phone trying to count how many times you say Piccolo.
So, like I said, Chris Sabat mentioned that Piccolo has been reluctantly dropping off and picking up Pan from school more times than he would care to admit. In the US dubbed version, they give the teacher a name, Janet. What's even funnier is how the fan base reacted to that. So apparently, there are a handful of fans, and they are growing. There is a trend that Piccolo and Janet are being shipped as a couple. Just because he knows her name.
No. No.
I mean,
no. JR has now left his seat, walking to the door, unlocking the door, exiting the apartment, and slam the door.
It's like in Spaceballs.
Farewell, JR.
It's like in Spaceballs at the beginning. Dearly beloved, we're here to witness Princess Vespa, who is going right past the altar, out to the exit.
Out the door, and... Yeah. I know. No.
I'm having fun with this.
If I recall... There's only one gender of Namekians, anyway.
Yeah, yes. But yes, however...
However what?
It's not going to stop the fan base from... It's not going to stop me from...
fan art.
Here's the deal. Okay. As cringeworthy as that is... It's still better than... Here we go. It's still better than shipping Piccolo and Gohan.
Thank God.
Yeah, I think so too.
Which is skewing a little too close to incest for my taste. Alrighty. Yeah, moving on.
I think the fans just want Piccolo to be happy with somebody.
Rebecca, moving on.
Anyway, okay, fine. I also love how it's been established that Piccolo never got his license. So basically that filler episode where Goku and Piccolo...
That was funny. That was genuinely funny.
I cannot believe.
So basically that filler episode where Goku and Piccolo go out to get their driver's license never happened. Or it did, and neither him nor Goku passed, if memory serves.
No, I believe it happened that neither of them passed.
Yes. Okay.
The canonicity of Dragon Ball now makes no sense. No. Like, what is canon? What isn't canon? You know, is it canon to Dragon Ball Z Kai? Is it canon to Dragon Ball Z and its fillers? Is it canon to the manga? It doesn't really matter anymore.
It's just Dragon Ball.
It's just Dragon Ball. It just does what it does, right? Yeah. It can be canon to everything if it wants to. But the point isn't what is or isn't canon. The point is, that's funny. The whole theater laughed when Piccolo goes, "I never got my license."
Because they all remember that episode.
Right, right. That stupid episode. Painful filler episode. Those episodes were so painfully filler, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
That they were... I remember those episodes when they were released on home video. They were actually released on VHS as a Burger King deal or something that.
I was the victim of that, actually.
Oh no!
Yeah,
you got to the most meaningless episodes.
When did they get their driver's test?
It was when they were training.
Training for the androids. Training.
During that whole.
Yeah.
So I remember getting one of those videos, and it was labeled, like, the cover was 18 kissing Krillin, and it was labeled Dragon Ball Z Uncut, and I was like, oh dude, I cannot wait. And the three episodes I got had no fighting in it whatsoever. And one of them was the car episode. And then the next episode of Dragon Ball Z, they finally confront the androids. Buy the next videotape.
The other episode on there was the one where Vegeta's training in the time chamber, right?
Yeah.
Not the time chamber. I'm sorry.
Gravity.
The gravity ship. Yeah. Anyway, but that was a great nostalgic little throwback.
And have we noticed that every now and then have we ever seen anybody in DBZ break the fourth wall? I'm just curious.
Trunks. Gotenks did, didn't he?
I feel like Gotenks might have.
Because Piccolo did in this movie. He finally
maybe
he was
maybe
Piccolo breaks the fourth wall. After Gohan finally comes out of his room and turns Super Saiyan, he turns to the audience and voices in their agreement saying, "Yes, Gohan's back."
I feel like that wasn't necessarily breaking the fourth wall.
I felt like he was saying that to himself.
I don't know. He was looking at us, me.
I don't. Well, I'm sure you thought he was looking at
you. No. I swear.
This episode is all talking to Rebecca. He might as well have sent Rebecca. Gohan's back.
Now, I'll give you this though. I did really, really enjoy the whole, how can I see his sound effects?
Yeah.
And then later on.
That was, oh my God.
And then later on, I discover because he has a hologram that shows up.
I was on. I was on the floor laughing so hard.
I couldn't believe it.
I love that.
I thought that was a break in the fourth wall. And then finally, once Piccolo sneaks in there,
it's revealed, it's a hologram. Some sort of
And I want to sit on the whole superhero aspect of the Gammas real quick here, because a lot of people miss this, and it was the thing that stuck out to me as soon as the previews, the
trailers, their designs,
their poses.
Mm-hmm.
JR, what does Gamma 2 remind you of?
Gamma 2
is the one with the blue cape, right, Rebecca?
Yes.
He was the one that fought Piccolo.
Yeah, the one that fought Piccolo with the two fins on his head. Gamma 1.
7.
What?
No, was he 0? Was he
0? Yeah. Ultraman 0.
Yeah.
Ultraman 0, where Gamma 1 was Ultra 7.
Ultra 7.
Yeah. Or Ultraman. They even had the, you know, the blue color scheme for Ultraman 0. Red color scheme for Ultraman. And if you...
That's hilarious.
Check out the poses a lot. Specifically, Dr. Hito, his poses were from Kamen Rider.
They were
from Kamen Rider.
Yes.
Yes. So Toriyama is anything but, you know, dumb. He knows exactly what he's doing. This whole movie was a big throwback to tokusatsu heroes.
Yeah.
So when we see the word superhero, obviously we're thinking Superman, Batman, Marvel, DC, stuff like that. In Japan, Ultraman, Kamen Rider,
Super Sentai.
Yeah. Right. that's the benchmark for superheroes in Japan, and that's what was being given this kind of nod.
Which is why I think I enjoyed it all the more.
Mm-hmm. The Japanese-ness of it. Yeah. No, I appreciate that.
Japanese-ness.
I said it. Hey, listen, I know I screwed up with what was the word I made up? Our listenage.
Listenage.
I'm going to say Japanese-ness, damn it.
How do you even spell listenage?
L-I-Q.
Rebecca, Piccolo.
Music to my ears. I love the relationship between Piccolo and Pan. Oh my gosh. Cutest thing ever. Ugh.
So already we have a kind of reconceptualization of Pan that is more tolerable than Dragon Ball GT. Oh,
I love this Pan. I love this Pan over...
Well, anything that happens in Super is light years above what we got in GT.
Yeah, but what I like about Super's characterization of Pan is, you know, Piccolo flat out says, Piccolo's training her, which I like. Yeah. I got some flashbacks to him and Gohan from the Saiyan saga there. but he also mentioned that her potential is even greater than Gohan's. Can we sit on that for just a second here? Yeah. Because Pan never had any grand power up or anything like that. She didn't amount to a whole lot either as a fighter or a character in GT, which I found incredibly disappointing.
Yeah.
Honestly. But
Pan is what, third generation Saiyan?
Third generation Saiyan hybrid. She's a quarter Saiyan. Yeah.
So yeah, quarter Saiyan. So she's gotta be able to.
Yeah, quarter Saiyan. I don't know.
She's got to be able to. She has the genes.
But I knowing that, I did find it interesting that Piccolo said she had more potential than Gohan. And seeing where Gohan goes in that movie.
Which is interesting. Well, not only that, because we don't even know about the power-up when he says that.
That's true.
So we're thinking Gohan Mystic. post-Boo. Mystic Gohan.
Yeah, Mystic Gohan, which was at his height. Yeah, which, again, we've gone so far since then, which is ridiculous. But during that point in time, I mean, Gohan was, what, above Super Saiyan 3 or something like that?
On par.
Arguably. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, on par, you think? I don't want to get into power scaling, because at this point, it just doesn't matter.
Yeah, it really doesn't.
It really doesn't.
But, you know, I
mean, you had Super Saiyan Blue Goku fighting Krillin at one point.
And I think power scaling has just gone out the window since Z.
Yeah.
Z handled it a lot better, and I think because there was more suspense to it. Yeah. But we've gone so far off the deep end to how powerful these characters are that the suspense is kind of gone. There's no grand sense of power scaling that can really...
No, but what I do like about this, though, is we've gotten to the point where everybody has hit a different point in their training that they're not all following the Super Saiyan route. You know what I'm saying?
Well, right, right. Like Goku's like, not even using
Goku's Ultra Instinct now.
Yeah.
Vegeta is, what are we calling that?
Ultra Ego.
Yeah. Ultra Ego.
Mm-hmm.
Gohan has Beast Mode now. I can't believe it's called
Maximize! Beast
Mode. Yeah, right. But I'm glad we're not all following the Super Saiyan train now. Because during the Android Saga and Cell Saga, that's what it felt like. It's just like, let's get to the next level of Super Saiyan.
Right. And I have issues with that, but none of them really come out in this movie because, let's be honest, the Saiyans, the pure Saiyans, aren't the stars of this movie.
Right.
Like, we haven't even hit on that. Like, Rebecca has obviously said this is Piccolo's movie, and it is Piccolo's movie.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite character in Dragon Ball Z is Vegeta.
Mm-hmm.
And I fully welcome this movie because we, at this point, Dragon Ball is all about Goku and Vegeta.
Yeah.
You know, it's the Goku and Vegeta show.
Mm-hmm.
So having a full movie dedicated to Piccolo and Gohan, while Goku and Vegeta are just kind of like have this like B plot going on that is completely superfluous,
yeah.
was honestly a very welcome change of pace.
Yeah.
And a little more suspenseful too, just because we know that Gohan and Piccolo aren't up to par mm-hmm. to those two characters.
Right.
So it was good to see some other characters outside the two main Saiyans shine.
Mm-hmm.
It was also good to see Broly lose his proverbial poop for a change. And it was good to see Broly as a good guy, a good character, not always just screaming Kakarot all the time. And I'm not entirely sure if I'm on board with the whole Beerus liking Chi-Lai thing. It's kind of
weird.
It was funny, but kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not focusing on that B plot, but
too much. Yeah. I think the B plot mostly
was there for comic relief.
Comic relief, and was also there to inform the audience why the top fighters aren't involved in mm-hmm. the story. You know.
Yeah.
And the answer is that they're completely selfish and self-absorbed in fighting one another.
And they literally just can't get a hold of them. I mean,
yeah, yeah.
So it was nice. It was nice to see some people that haven't been getting the spotlight for a while.
Right, I agree.
Back in the spotlight.
Yeah.
You know, I love, because he is my favorite character in Dragon Ball. I was so excited to see
Goten
and Trunks attempt to fuse. But at the same time, when they screwed it up, either of you guys seen those memes where it's like, that's my boy, and then it immediately goes wrong and goes, my boy!
I'm thinking
that's
more
exactly what I was saying. I was watching them fuse the dance, so I was like, that's my boy. And then they mess up the finger, and I'm like, my boy!
you never put it past Toriyama to not quite give you everything you want, yeah. You know, which honestly keeps things interesting.
Well, no, I mean, you're not going to expect two teenage boys to remember a dance they haven't done in what, 15 years?
Less. Ten, way less.
10.
I think what's really scary is that is that when they fuse into Goten, so he's not wearing underwear underneath those pants.
Or maybe he just got burned off. Who knows?
I hope so.
I mean, it was nice to see, though, you know, Gotenks, even though he's not at his top form, quite literally, still has some usefulness, though. Because every time we see a fusion gone wrong, they're like running away or trying to avoid fighting. At least this Gotenks actually tried to fight.
That's true.
Yep.
I also liked how when he's watching Piccolo getting the crap beat out of him, he charges in to help him, and while Krillin's yelling out, "You idiot, no!"
Right, which is another thing I really liked about this movie, because to a certain extent, Trunks and Goten also have that father figure with Piccolo because he was the one training them to fight Boo.
He was our teacher.
I'm glad when Piccolo was in trouble, they ran in to help him, just like Gohan and Pan would have.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad there was that connection there.
I mean, it's good to give.
Oh, go on, Rebecca.
I was just saying it's good to know that Gotenks actually does care for Piccolo and not being a little.
Well, he does care. He does care about things. He's just so damn cocky.
Yeah, which I'm sorry, has been a major turnoff for me, and I don't.
Oh, that's exactly why I love him. I love him giving Boo the finger.
Rebecca, you know, as much as you love that this was Piccolo in the spotlight for this movie, and I agree, I'm glad we got basically Dragon Ball Piccolo the movie, I gotta give black marks to Piccolo on this one thing. He basically used Pan.
He did.
To lure, power up, and anger Gohan into the fight. Now, if I were Gohan, I'd be pretty mad about that. I mean, it's really terrible. He's like, okay,
I'm going to act like I'm hurting you now. Scream.
Yeah, I'm
going to
pick up my family friend's daughter, take her to this ultra, you know, dangerous secret base, and use her as leverage to get Gohan powered up and back into the fight.
Which is even funnier, because even the quote unquote bad guys who are the superheroes are like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah,
little girl.
Exactly. And that's it. I know it was out of fun and whatnot, but it did kind of bother me. If I were Gohan, I would have been like, well, since I'm more powerful than you now,
yeah,
I'm going to blast you across the solar system.
I don't know. Since you're letting your guard down, man, I'm going to manipulate you and everything around you to make you angry.
Yeah. No, it's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he did. I found that problematic.
I did too.
Well, is it hilarious I find that problematic? Maybe. But I think Piccolo's made of sterner stuff than that. I mean, he's done some pretty horrible things to get a rise out of
Gohan
before. I mean, if we go back to the Saiyan saga, that was rough. Yeah. But come on.
Like that, you know. And you know, I feel like they addressed this a lot in this movie, that he was the Demon King at one point. So maybe they can get away with him doing stuff like that, because technically his power up was for him being the Demon King. So maybe they could get away with him treating Pan like that. But I was like, he's gotten to the point where he's such a father figure. Doing something like that seems a little disgraceful for him.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to play Piccolo's advocate here. And
of course you are.
Yeah, but no, hear me out. Gohan fell for this trap during Resurrection F movie and the Resurrection F saga. He neglected his training. He neglected his time with his family because he kept studying or researching and everything. And that nearly cost him both his life and his family's life. And eventually, and the show, it cost Piccolo's life because he died to protect him. And I understand why Piccolo using Pan to lure Gohan out of hiding would tick you off. But what really ticked me off was that Gohan did not learn his lesson after Frieza. And in this movie, I'm like, Gohan, what are you doing? Have you learned nothing? Your family was nearly killed they were killed off by Frieza, and if it weren't for Whis, they would be gone. So were the Dragon Balls, and you wouldn't bring them back. So Gohan was falling into that same trap again, and Piccolo was just, perhaps Piccolo was at his wit's end with this, and he tried everything to get Gohan out of his cocoon, but nothing worked. And so when he discovered that the Red Ribbon Army were going to kidnap Pan, he thought maybe, okay, maybe this will finally wake him up a bit, see where this goes. So, but I'm going to inform Pan so that she does not get scared.
I mean, you can't deny the fact that Gohan, for as smart as he supposedly is, really doesn't learn. I get that. You know, he neglected his training between the Cell Saga and the Buu Saga, right?
Right.
He neglected it again, Resurrection F.
Right.
He neglected it again, the multiverse, the multi-universal tournament thing. He neglected it again here. It is a running, almost a running gag with Gohan, really. And that is probably not just frustrating for Piccolo, but it is frustrating for the audience, right? Yeah, no, that's true. And I sincerely hope that with this movie, he stays on top of his training for future villains that may seek to destroy Earth or whatever, you know?
But I still don't justify.
No, I don't know if I justify it within context of this movie. I agree.
Because despite how strong, you know, Piccolo is against the Red Ribbon Army, he was still, I mean, and despite how strong Pan is against the Red Ribbon Army.
Well, here's the thing.
Child endangerment.
Oh, yeah. Because
then manipulating Gohan. Really, really badly manipulating Gohan.
Oh, please. He's done a lot worse. And he...
I don't agree with that statement.
Okay. Look. Now, if he did kidnap Pan and not tell her, I would have a problem with that. However, Pan, being as smart as she is, knew that it was Piccolo, sensed his key, and decided to... Hang on just a second. Hold on.
You know, to be honest, I knew this episode would go this way. Rebecca refusing to speak a bad word against Piccolo.
Anyway, it was all a ruse. It was all a ruse. Pan was in on it as well.
Yeah. But she... But she's still a kid. She's 3 years old. I'm just saying. It really shouldn't be up to her to be like, yeah, no, I go along with this.
Literally, that's like, she can't even fly at that point.
She's 15 years from legal age to make these kind of decisions.
Gohan was at least, what, 10?
What?
When Piccolo started training him?
No, he was like 3.
Was he 3?
He was like 3 or 4. 3, 4. He took Piccolo from his... No, Piccolo took Gohan from his home.
Yeah, Piccolo did take Gohan without permission from Chi-Chi. And
and left him alone in the wilderness for 6 months. And then 6 months later gave him the most brutal beating of his life and being his teacher. And you're telling me that he crossed the line with Pan?
Yes.
Well, now we're just getting into maybe Piccolo isn't as good of a guy.
maybe the Demon King is still pretty relevant.
Well, you guys are wrong. I'm just saying.
I know it. I know. Good Lord. But, you know. Getting away, okay, on a positive note, though, Piccolo did get through to the characters that I think the movie is really kind of named after, more literally, the superhero.
Yeah.
You know, Dr. Hito had an obsession with Japanese superheroes, and he based his two androids.
Right, off superheroes.
Off of superheroes. I do find it kind of interesting, you know, the juxtaposition of the title and these characters, because the characters really do believe that they are superheroes.
Well, they believe they're in the right.
They believe they're in the right. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Which is why I have such a... I mean, I've addressed this before. The villain complex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why do they do what they do? Is because they think they're in the right.
Yes, and they are villains, but only for...
for a brief moment.
And it's not because I think it's out of any self-righteousness, but they are developing ethics
as they learn
and grow and whatnot.
Right.
And when Piccolo points us out to Gamma 2, Ultraman Zero, he starts noticing the contradiction of what's going on between the Red Ribbon Army's goals and what he was built for.
Yeah.
And I do find it interesting that, you know, what makes a superhero a hero, right? Is it the powers and whatnot, or is it understanding where that ethical line is and going all out to protect the innocent and, you know, seek out a sense of justice that is defining for everyone? And at the end of the day, like so many Dragon Ball villains, they join Piccolo and Gohan against the big baddie at the end of this movie, which turns out to be a giant kaiju fight between Piccolo
and Cell.
and Cell Max, right? Cell Max. So, and I guess we can sit on Cell Max here. Thoughts on him?
Cop out.
I mean, I was a little disappointed that he didn't speak. He just screamed, but...
got some bio brawly.
That's, you know what I was thinking? I was thinking Saiyan Killer.
Saiyan Killer?
Oh, yeah. The I know what you're talking about. The eradication of the Saiyans.
Eradication of the Saiyans.
Yeah. Hachiyak. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I was getting flashbacks from.
I was getting Bio Broly,
but yeah, Bio Broly.
But I don't know. I enjoyed this more in Bio Broly, but
it was basically just a rehash of Bio Broly, just in a different form.
Well, and I just thought, you know, okay, so Cell Max is supposed to be even more powerful than the original Cell, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, Gamma 2 took out a limb, right?
Right.
But he doesn't have the ability to heal.
To regenerate, yeah.
To regenerate, like the original Cell. And I found that kind of like, well, is he really...
better?
Yeah, I don't know. That was...
my only concern is that it's too big.
Too big.
No, I mean, When I saw Cell Max, what I was really thinking of is like the end of more of the traditional Dragon Ball Z movies, like the end of like Tree of Might or Dead Zone. That's the kind of feel I felt coming off of it. Like, okay, here is the real big bad. Everybody's learned their lesson. Here's the real big bad. Let's take him out.
Well, they did set it up early on, though. Like, we knew Cell Max was coming.
Yeah.
Regardless. That, I guess that doesn't take away from the fact that, you know, a big team up against a big bad was inevitable for your typical
Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I enjoyed the battle between Kaiju Piccolo and Cell Max. And, of course, we get... This results in a new power-up for Gohan, which I felt was a little too close to, in looks, to Ultra Instinct.
I kind of felt that way, too. The silver hair.
Yes, yeah. The silver hair.
I think it's actually white.
I like the red eyes.
I do like the red eyes. You said the hair is more white?
Yes, because I know... I say this because I watched a YouTube video of a artist redrawing certain scenes from the movie in 2D, and this one guy mentioned that the new form Gohan was in was Gohan Blanco, and I realized, okay, Blanca means white in Spanish, so I guess it's white, not silver.
I mean, it's been a while since I've seen the movie, but I remember it being silver.
It's been a week.
I've watched other things. It's not like I just got out of the theater.
I need to go see it again.
I could see it again, actually. Oh, yeah,
definitely.
And I say this, these four Dragon Ball movies that we've gotten have all been excellent. You know?
Mm-hmm.
it's very hard to pick a favorite. It's even harder for me to pick a favorite when Vegeta's my favorite character, right? Yeah. You know, but objectively, it's at least as good, if not better than Battle of Gods.
Oh, yeah.
I think. Because I love all the espionage, kind of like spy, thriller stuff going on in the first half.
They had, I don't want to say, you know, most Dragon Ball Z movies are the same. Find bad guy, beat up bad guy, beat bad guy, end of the movie. But it felt like it had a little more weight to it. Like when, Battle of the Gods, when we found out most of the movie was like Beerus, the god of destruction, was coming down to Earth. And everybody was terrified of him. And it felt like it had a little more weight to it, because what can they do against a god?
Right.
And
what can they do? Vegeta can just make a joke of himself and try to keep him happy, which was honestly an interesting
the best part of the movie.
Absolutely.
But you know, it felt like we had a little more plot this time.
Mm-hmm. No, I can agree with that. And a lot of that story revolved around Piccolo trying to solve the situation.
Mm-hmm.
It was him trying to gather information, see what kind of arsenal they had to go up against these guys, and do everything he can to make it happen. Which, now that I say it out loud, okay, I get why he manipulated Gohan into the position he was in. I still think it was
wrong.
Yeah, it's still is problematic, Rebecca. But
whatever.
I know that he was trying to do it to save the world, and that's what Piccolo does.
Okay, I need to talk about how much I'm in love with Piccolo's new forms. His ultimate form and his orange form. Once again, I found it hilarious that he didn't even notice that he changed colors and that he was ripped after he transformed. But that transformation, when Piccolo's falling into darkness, hearing Shenron's voice, all that you have, plus a bit extra. Then that fiery light explodes, and it reminds me of the Phoenix rising from the ashes myth, you know, and the music behind it was very Attack on Titan-esque. And and I noticed not too long ago that he has the same color schemes as the Dragon Balls, which is probably a nudge to Piccolo transcending his Namekian heritage and pride. And the symbol on his back, it's apparently the symbol of Namekian pride. It resonates the trees on planet Namek.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I read that. I love that. I said I found it funny that Piccolo didn't notice his physical change when he's fighting, but then I realized he spent the majority of his life meditating and teaching himself self-control and discipline. He's so focused on what's inside himself, and he's become so detached with materialistic or physical attributes, despite owning a smartphone and some plushies for whatever reason.
Because he loves them.
He made it clear to Videl and Gohan, it's like, I don't want any more. No, stop giving me more.
He loves them so much. Gohan said so himself. He's like, do you need any of those plushies you love so much?
And he said, no, stop giving me those. Of course, I don't see why he can't just, burn them or something. Anyway, like I said before, he's become detached with materialistic and physical attributes that it's only come natural to him that he doesn't notice his outer change. Another quality I love about Piccolo's character, he focuses more on his inner self and his inner peace, and does not worry about what the outer looks look like, or the fame or the glory. He doesn't want that. No, he just wants peace, balance, inner peace. And I feel like the series Dragon Ball Super did a bit of a disservice to him by making him the permanent babysitter of the group until the tournament of power arc came. And I was like, okay, you're bringing him back again. I like that. But it's just a reward. It's a reward for Piccolo for his long, excruciating journey of patience and endurance, mental endurance, I think.
Okay. I can go with that. And he, you know, the character needed this movie.
Absolutely. Definitely. Absolutely.
I think that since the Cell Saga, Piccolo, I don't want to say he hasn't done much, because even though he didn't fight really in the Buu Saga, he was, his presence was pivotal.
Yes.
And
he taught the battle. He taught Goten Buu. And trained Goten right. and Trunks to do the fusion technique.
Exactly. And then the Tournament of Power came along, and I'm not a big fan of the Tournament of Power arc. I'll be honest.
Really?
No, I thought it was the weakest arc in Dragon Ball Super. But it was good to see him again. I wanted more out of his character. I didn't just want him thrown into a tournament to see him fight. I wanted more from his character. And I think this movie gave me that kind of fix. I wanted to see him, you know, figure things out, puzzle things together, try to discover a solution that would save the day.
Yeah, he's practically the brains of
exactly
of the group.
Exactly. And seeing him just fight is a disservice to the character. The character is much better at, well, manipulating situations and
kidnapping little kids.
Like, yeah. and working with that to find solutions. And in that, with that respect, this gave us the Piccolo that we've been missing for decades over just kind of the here's Piccolo in a tournament kind of hand wave we got in the Tournament of Power.
Okay, yeah. I can agree on that, except for the whole manipulating kids part, but
but we're not going to agree
it's,
on that.
It's just no. It's like one of those people that's so blinded by just like how awesome they are. They can't see the bad things.
You can do no wrong, Piccolo. Oh my gosh. Can I have your autograph? Please sign my breasts.
Wait a minute. I'm an artist. I can just do it myself. Looking in the mirror and yeah.
Huh. Piccolo. Yeah, backwards at that point.
I can see why. I can see why Dave left.
Wow.
So this is what he felt all right. like.
Speaking of art, here's the elephant in the room.
Yes.
This movie was CG animated.
Yes, it was.
Thoughts, Miss Artist?
I was very, very skeptical at first. I think when I pause at certain points in the movie, I'm thinking, yeah, it some things should have been 2D drawn, 2D animated, mm-hmm. and it's... However... The animation wise and the fluidity of the movements, I mean, making everybody just move naturally, like when Pan is begging Piccolo to teach her how to shoot ki blasts, and he says, no, not until you learn to fly. She pouts a little and just sways her arms over like a normal little girl would do when she doesn't get her way. But and I thought that was That was perfect. That was beautiful. If it would have been, so much better if it was 2D drawn. But I don't hate it, but I also don't
love it.
Yeah, I guess I don't love it.
Well, okay. So I found it interesting. I did a little recon on our director, Tetsuro Kodama. He doesn't actually have a lot of movies or shows to his name at all. In fact, this is, from what I can see, as in the director's chair, this is his third project.
Oh, okay.
What he was, however, was he was the CG coordinator for Dragon Ball Broly.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
The scenes where Goku, Vegeta, and Broly were CG and they were fighting, he was the one kind of behind all that.
Okay.
Right.
So they got a guy who understood CG animation, and they put him in the director's chair. And I think that was a good decision. If this is the direction they wanted to go, I would have preferred had they gotten what was his name? Sutani? The artist in Broly.
Yeah, I forgot.
Sutami. I can't remember. It's something in that neighborhood. But he if they'd gotten that animator, I would have preferred that, because I still think the animation Dragon Ball Super Broly is the best the series has seen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah,
I agree.
For me, it felt like I got taken out of it, the movie, at some points because of the animation.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it felt like I was just watching a giant cutscene from
Budokai,
yeah. Or Xenoverse, or any of those like 3D animated games. It felt like I was watching an extended cut scene.
Well, you know what? Whenever there was more just
now,
Hiro
Shintani
story going on.
Now
Shintani.
Yeah, Shintani. Yeah, okay, that's
Shintani. Okay, yeah. Shintani did the animation for Broly, and I bring him back. But I think that whenever the movie was working with the story and the characters, they got a little bit more out of the animation. I bought it. Here's where it pulled me out. There were some shots where they were fighting where I thought, oh, Budokai Tenkaichi.
See, there were, I remember more of them like standing around talking is where I got pulled out.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I remember there was a specific shot with Gohan and Gamma One fighting.
Yeah.
I think Gohan was in his mystic ultimate stage, right? Mm. And I was noticing that Gohan's hair wasn't really moving.
Uh-oh.
In the fight. I was like, well, this is what the PS2 graphics did when we. I think
I think CG should be used purely for fighting and not up close talking in person. That's just me.
Maybe it's just because I recently played Budokai Xenoverse, that I felt like the sitting around talking was the part that pulled me out.
Mm-hmm.
And the fighting was all right to me because, you know, that game is a fighting game. So
I don't know. I felt the fighting pulled me out the most. Another really cool touch that I noticed when I saw this thing is, you know, when Gohan sees Piccolo getting beaten to a pulp here, and Piccolo only has one arm at this point. Yeah. That was kind of cool. We get a sequence that's very, very similar, of course, to Gohan's transformation to Super Saiyan 2 from the Cell Saga.
Yeah.
And this was total nostalgia bait, right? I have to hand it to the dub cast, however. Because when Kyle Herbert, who plays Gohan, it is still Kyle Herbert, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. When he plays when he, you know, screams and we see the line behind his head go and stuff like that. Did anyone notice that Kid Gohan's voice when he screamed into Super Saiyan 2 was right behind him? It was both screams going on.
I'll have to go back and
really?
Yes, it was both screams. You could hear him scream from the Cell Saga, and you could hear his scream in this movie simultaneously.
Oh, man. I definitely did do that.
I was very impressed with that. I thought that was a cool little touch. That made me grin. I expected the whole, like, we're going to copy the Cell Saga thing visually. But I have to give high marks to putting in Kid Gohan's scream.
I've also like to point out that he said the exact same thing when he was fighting Cell in the tournament, and to when he was fighting Cell Max here. Is that all you've got? Do you remember him saying that?
Really?
Yes, he said that.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
The only thing I remember about the Cell Saga is what I remember from Team Four Star. All I remember is Goku going, okay, Gohan, you finished them. And Gohan goes, not yet. I'm not done pulling the wings off this butterfly.
Is that a red flag? Make that crimson. Oh, man.
I'm bored. You're boring me.
Well, any final thoughts we want to bring into this before we wrap it up?
I mean, keep moving them out, man.
Yeah, I think
I prefer the movies over the series now. I mean,
okay, and I've said this for ever since Battle of Gods came out. I've been saying Dragon Ball is too big for television now.
Mm-hmm. They gave it Super a shot, and I liked Future Go, Future Trunks.
Oh, arc. The Zamasu saga, Zamasu.
Goku Black arc. But I think that was really the only part of Super I really enjoyed.
It's definitely the part I liked the most.
It was one of the darkest ones.
Mm-hmm. Bring back movies, man.
Well, they're already working on the next one.
Well, like the manga, like with the whole Vegeta Ultra Ego thing. Make that a movie, man.
I would prefer if they made it a movie. I agree. And I to this day, I don't understand why they retold Battle of Gods and Resurrection F in Super.
Because the movies are far superior.
Way superior.
And,
better.
The animation in them, too, is far superior.
And I think the stuff that was fleshed out, like in the sagas, were unnecessary. We didn't need that information, really.
We didn't need...
Let me put it this way. We didn't have to see how Goku and Vegeta became Super Saiyan Blue.
Yeah.
Because if we didn't have to see, we got away with never seeing how Goku went Super Saiyan 3.
Mm-hmm.
Why did we need that information? No one has ever complained that, we don't know how Goku went Super Saiyan 3.
Goku just said, didn't he just say, I figured it out?
Yeah, I figured it out. I trained. And that was basically what was insinuated in Resurrection F. They've been training.
Yeah.
That's all we need to know. That's all we need to know. And the dragging out of how they became Super Saiyan Blue in the Resurrection F saga in the show, unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
Unnecessary. So I liked the movies more. A lot of the original sagas in Super didn't care for. I think the animation in the Tournament of Power arc was great overall.
No, the only stuff I think I really enjoyed out of the Super franchise was... That whole sideline with side story with Hit and Goku, and then
I did like that.
And then where Goku basically puts a hit out
on himself, right? Yeah.
And then, like I said, the Future Trunks saga.
Yeah, the Future Trunks saga was fantastic. I think it would have been better as a movie, but it was fantastic. But
it had enough weight. Where it brought back the coming home after school to watch Goku fight Frieza.
Right.
It had levity behind it.
That did have levity behind it in that one. I agree. I agree with that. And I also agree with both you. The movies have been superior in every way. Broly was fantastic. This was fantastic. I can't wait for the next movie. Now, I understand that supposedly the show is coming back next year. I'll watch it, of course.
I'll own it.
Yeah, but I'm more excited about the next movie because I just think they're doing more interesting things with the movies.
Yeah. If you want to keep the movies like they are and don't retell them.
Oh, gosh. My greatest fear is that Super comes back with a retelling of Broly.
Oh, no. No.
I'd kill someone. Oh my gosh.
You know what else I actually do want to point out? The last time we were talking about Dragon Ball, we were so like picky about comparing Bulma to Frieza on the aging thing. You know, she wants to look 5 years younger, and Frieza wants to look 5 inches taller.
Centimeters. Centimeters,
Centimeters taller. But only Bulma is the one actually doing something about it.
Yeah.
She's actually going to have cosmetic surgery.
Like, no, she's not having cosmetic surgery. She's just letting the dragon do it for her.
I mean, can we compare Bulma to Frieza now? I mean, using the mystical dragon.
No, we can't. Frieza's still
I was making a joke.
Oh, God.
I was making a ha ha.
I didn't laugh.
I love this movie. I need to go see it again.
You know, it's nice to talk about Dragon Ball on this podcast again in a positive manner instead of cursing evolution. I killed her. I got her.
Don't.
I have been JR.
And I'm G. We're the Drift Don't. Space.
Don't. The
only remaining Drift Space members.
And then there were two.
Yeah. Well, all right. I got another thing. I love the fact that Piccolo is finally fully shirtless.
And he's walking over to the door. Door's already unlocked.
The Drift Space.
Out the
I'm
door,
your host,
closing
Rebecca.
The door, slamming it. That was even more dramatic than the last one. I really hope he puts the door back on its hinges when he comes back. I really don't want to pay for that myself. OJR.
All right, let's go on with Fanboy 50. If we don't have any...
Fanboy 50. I am ready for a Fanboy 50. I don't know if JR is. He's yet to return. What? Oh, JR!
Fanboy 50?
He may really be gone. I don't know.
Oh my God. Shirtless Piccolo kill JR. Are you kidding me?
I'm really not kidding.
Oh my God.
He's finally returned.
He slammed the door so hard I couldn't open it.
He slammed the door so hard he couldn't open it. Does my door need WD-50 now? I don't. All right. Fanboy 50. Who's up? I went first last time.
I'll go first.
All right. On your mark. Get set. Go.
As many of you know, I draw a lot. After this movie, I draw a whole lot. But I also need to eat and pay for a living wages, which is why I'm announcing to podcasters specifically that commissions are open for them if they want a new look or logo. I've just recently finished a commission for Entertain This podcast. I did some work for the Power Trip podcast, Pizza and Parsecs, and some personal commissions for the Monster Island Film Vault podcast. So if you podcasters out there are listening to us, this message is specifically for you. Commissions are open. Message me your requests and I'll make it happen. Thank you.
You still got 10 seconds and left if you want to advertise a little bit more.
Piccolo's hot.
No, JR. Stay, JR. Stay, JR. Bad JR. Don't touch G's door. Bad JR. Don't scratch the door. Down? All right, JR, are you up?
Yeah, sure.
All right, here we go. On your mark, get set, go.
Other than working a lot and just generally doing my job, basically, I haven't really been doing a lot. I recently started rewatching Parks and Recreation, which is a great show. Need to watch it. Some of the humor is a little outdated, but still have fun with it. Don't think I've really seen that many movies recently besides Super. I mentioned still playing Stray, having fun with that. Yeah.
He likes being a cat.
Honestly, can't really think of too much more. Give me something to talk about for 20 seconds.
Prey.
Oh, Prey was awesome. Ooh. Oh gosh, Prey was amazing.
Ooh.
Time. Yeah, we'll be doing an episode on that soon. Ooh. Definitely. God, I love that movie. All right, who's got me?
I'll get you.
You got me. All right.
All right. Go.
All right, this is going to be a Godzilla rant for a second here. No, ladies and gentlemen, these movies are 20, 21 years old or so. No, Rodan and Space Godzilla had nothing to do with the burning Godzilla form in Godzilla vs. Destroy. If you would just watch the movie in the first 10 minutes, they show an island sinking because of uranium deposits being destroyed, and they confirm that after his attack on Hong Kong. It is easy. You watch the movie. You pay attention. You listen to the dialogue. Space Godzilla didn't poison Godzilla. Rodan's energy that he shared with Godzilla didn't make him burning Godzilla. Burning Godzilla was made through uranium deposits on Birth Island.
And you're done.
Hey, GJ.
Yes.
I'm a little concerned that you're not being very expressive enough. I think you need to let out your emotions a bit more, not be such a rock all the time. Can you do that?
Piccolo's ugly.
You're angry right now, I understand.
I knew it. I knew that was the next few words. All right.
Oh, boy. Okay. Thank you all for joining us in our discussion of Dragon Ball Super Superhero. I am your host, Rebecca. If you'd like to check out some of my artwork, you can find me on the Linktree app, linktr.ee/reb.hudge. And remember, commissions are open for podcasters.
I'm G. You can find me on Twitter at Gman of Mysterioid. And check out my Substack, Deferential Wrath of a Rusting Markolite Cannon at markolite.substack.
And I am JR. If you like my ramblings, I'm over there on Twitter, littleman_says1. I have the Instagram, littlemancosplays, and now I am on TikTok. You can find me there at littlemansays.
And we are The Drift Space. You can check out our show on bit.ly/TDSlinks, where you can find us on all your favorite podcatchers. If you like what you've heard, share it with a friend, then you both can hit us up on our socials at The Drift Space. Geek out with us or just say, hey, we'd love to hear from you. And as always, thanks for listening and for your support. And always, stay strapped.
Stay strapped. Take a look, keep your shirt on.
Take it off.